John chapter 17. We shall continue the message that we commenced this morning. You recall that we were considering the verses 14, 15, and 16. Our subject this morning was hated without a cause. We considered the words of prayer came from the lips of the Lord Jesus when he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Hated without a cause. And we remember we considered the fact of how the disciples were and would be. We would follow in their footsteps. They would be persecuted by the world. What was the aggravation? What was it that aggravated the worldling against the disciples? It was the fact that they had received the word and they were out to preach the word. And that caused great aggravation. And as we noted, because of that aggravation, the apostles were imprisoned. Many had been imprisoned because they sought only to preach the word. And then we noted not only the aggravation, but the animosity. The animosity, the Lord Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated. Not just taken a dislike to the disciples, but the language of the Lord states, the world hated them. The world has hated the servants of God and the church of Jesus Christ ever since. The world, of course, is the domain of Satan. The God of this world has arrayed himself against the God of heaven. And when you take your stand with the Lord Jesus and for the Lord Jesus and in the side of truth and righteousness, well, you can be sure then that the world, the domain of Satan, will be against. We noted also the association. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Because of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the root cause of this hatred. Because we belong to Christ, because the Lord Jesus is not of the world, we seek to follow in His footsteps, we seek to follow His example, we seek to obey His commands. And because of that, because we are different from the world, the Christian, the Church of Jesus Christ, is hated by the world. The Lord Jesus has said, ye are from beneath and I am from above. Ye are of this world and I am not of this world. Because Christ is not of this world, neither are we, because we are in Him. For that reason, the Church of Jesus Christ for years, for centuries, has been persecuted for no other reason than being followers of the Lord Jesus and preachers of His word. As we said this morning, we haven't committed any great crime. We haven't murdered anyone or stolen or assaulted anyone. The only thing that we can plead guilty to is the charge that we're followers of Christ and preachers of the word. And to those charges we gladly plead guilty. Now let us move on. Let us now consider our place in the world. After praying over his disciples and how they were persecuted and how they would be persecuted, we see here in verse 15 something that the Lord said he would not pray for. We pointed this out a few weeks ago. We need to follow the Lord's example, and when it comes to seeking his face in prayer, we need to know what to pray for and what not to pray for. The Lord Jesus said that he prayed for his people. I pray for them. That's what he prayed for. He says, then he went on to say, I pray not for the world. So the Lord Jesus knew what to pray for and what not to pray for. And here it is again. The Lord Jesus is praying for his disciples, and then he says, I pray not. Now the Lord has just, in this high priestly prayer, mentioned how the disciples and the church of Jesus Christ would be persecuted because they had received his word, and they would be preaching the word and spreading the word, and because of that they would be persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, put to death. Now the Lord says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That would appear to be the logical thing to do. Well, if the church is being so persecuted, if God's servants are being put in prison, if God's servants are being put to death, well then it would appear the logical thing to do would be just to take the church out of the world. Leave the world to its own devices. But the Lord Jesus does not pray for that. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. And so here these words speak to us about our place in the world. If the Lord is not going to pray that we be taken out of the world, then we must have a place in this world. Regarding the disciples' place in the world, because it was for the disciples that he was praying, regarding the disciples' place in the world, we see here, first of all, the will of the Lord. It was not the will of the Lord to take the disciples at that time out of the world. It was not his will. Rather, it was the Lord's will that his disciples stay in the world. Now, the Lord could have, if it was his will, he could have taken his apostles out of the world one by one, just as he took Elijah out of the world, just as he took Enoch out of the world. He could have done the same with any one of his disciples. But it was not his will to do so. His will was for the disciples to remain in the world for a certain period of time. Now, Christ loved his disciples and knew they would be exposed to the world's hatred, yet prayed that they would not be taken out of the world that would hit them and persecute them and imprison them and eventually one day kill them. This in spite of the danger they were in. Because they had received the word and were preachers of the word, they were in great danger because the world hated them. But it was the Lord's will that they remain in the world and face the dangers. Now you recall Elijah. Elijah faced the false prophets of Baal. He stood as a great stalwart for God and a champion for Jehovah. And he took the false prophets of Baal to the brook Kidron, and he slew every one of them there. And then when he heard of the threatenings of Jezebel, for some reason or other, Elijah's faith failed him. He became afraid because Jezebel said, "Elijah, you'll be as one of my prophets this time tomorrow. I'll slay you, Elijah. I'll put you to death, Elijah." And suddenly, the great champion for Jehovah was afraid. And he took to his heels and ran. And he found a place to sit down. And as he sat there, he made a request. He prayed. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. He requested for himself. He requested, he prayed. This is what he prayed. That he might die. And said, "It is enough. Lord, I have had enough. It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life. Take me out of the world. I have had enough." Maybe you and I have said that at some time or another. We've come to that place where we've said, "Lord, I have had enough. Take me out of it all. Take me out of this world. Take me home to glory." Well, that prayer of Elijah's was not answered. Not the way he wanted it to be answered. Because the Lord didn't take him out of the world. It was not the will of the Lord to take Elijah out of the world at that time. And here we find Elijah felt that he was in great danger. So he wanted to be taken out of the world. The disciples, the apostles, would be in great danger. But it wasn't the Lord's will to spare them that danger they would find themselves in. You know, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful when we find ourselves in a situation and we begin to criticize the Lord and say, "Lord, why am I in this state?" Well, the Lord hasn't taken us out of the world quite simply because not his will. And we just simply rest in his will. And his will is perfect and his will is good. So the Lord wasn't going to take the disciples out of the world in spite of the danger. And the Lord will not take his people out of the world in spite of their desire. This reminds me of the Apostle Paul. Turn, please, to Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What a tremendous testimony. To live is Christ. Paul said, "All that I live for Jesus Christ. And to die is gain." Then he goes on to say, "But if I live in the flesh, if I remain in the world, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." He's singing about heaven, and he's thinking about his labors on earth. He's caught between the two. Paul says, I don't know which one to choose. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Certainly, it would be far better. After all that Paul had went through, and here he is sitting in prison writing this letter. This is one of his prison letters. And you can understand then why he said to depart and be with Christ. That would be far better. But just then, Christ would be praying to his heavenly Father. I pray that thou takest Paul not out of the world. Sometimes, as we considered a few months ago, sometimes we get homesick for heaven. We get homesick for heaven and have a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. You ever think that way when you look around you and see what's going on in this world? You just wish you could just go away from it all. Pray the prayer of the psalmist, oh, for the wings of the morning, that I might fly away and be at rest. But it's not the Lord's will, not yet. He will summon us to glory someday, but not yet. And while we are here upon earth, it is the Lord's will that we are here. Then we think of others. Because of disappointment, they want to be out of the world. You remember the words of Jonah. Jonah was actually disappointed that the Lord saved the people of Nineveh. He didn't like the people of Nineveh, and he was disappointed the Lord had saved them. We read in Jonah 4, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, verse 2, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, he's praying, he's praying. This isn't just wishful thinking, he's praying. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. Take me out of it all. Therefore, now. He wanted it to happen right now. I don't want to live another minute. I don't want to live another hour. I don't want to see another day. Take me away right now. I beseech thee, take away my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Yes, just like Paul had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Certainly it's far better. But it wasn't the Lord's will to take his disappointed prophet out of the world just then. When we are disappointed, seem to face one disappointment after another, we sometimes say, oh, I wish I was away home. Lord, take me out of it all. But it's not the Lord's will to take us out of it all. He has a place for us here in this world. And what about those who are in despair? When we think of despair and suffering, we think of Job. There in Job chapter 6, oh, how your heart would go out to Job in his sickness and his sorrow and his bereavement and his loss and his loneliness. Yes, your heart would go out to him. And in Job 6 and verses 8 and 9, Job prays, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." This was his request. "Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." Maybe you've been there, right into the very depths of despair. You felt like praying the words of Job, "Oh, that God would grant me the desire of my heart and cut me off." But it's not his will. It's not his will to do so. Whatever disappointments we face, whatever dangers we find ourselves in, it's not God's will. This tells us something else then. This tells us then how difficult it is to be a Christian in this world. You know, the world thinks that when someone becomes a Christian, they become a kind of softy. They think that just life ends when they become a Christian. Well, I tell you, and all who are Christians tonight can testify to it, it takes courage to be a Christian in this world. It takes courage to stand up for that which is right. It takes courage to go against the stream. Just like sometimes you look into a river and there you see a great rock in the middle of the river and the water is rushing over that rock, but it stands firm. And as believers, we seem to be like that rock in the middle of a river of iniquity and sin and hatred. But let us stand like a rock. It takes courage to stand. I tell you, becoming a Christian most certainly doesn't mean you become a softy, the very opposite. Because while you're in the world and off the world and part of the world and living for the world, well, as we noted this morning, the Lord said, the world will love you. But when you become a child of God and become a Christian and nail your colors to the mast, the world will hate you. And the devil will hate you. And hell will hate you. And you need courage and strength to stand up for the Lord Jesus. It takes a man to stand for Christ. You think of the courage that our moderator displayed a number of years ago in the European Parliament. He took a stand for Christ against the Pope of Rome. And everybody knew that the moderator was going to protest in the European Parliament. And as he climbed the steps of the staircase, a body of men stood in his way and tried to stop him. Pressed on. It's all right, you know, whenever you're taking your stand and you have a bunch of men around you. They give you moral support. But our moderator went there and took a stand alone. He stood alone. We bless the Lord for him. It took courage to do that. It's all right when we're sitting in the comforts of our home and we can say, well, I would do this and I would do that and I'll do the other. But when it comes to it, you'd maybe rather run out the back door. But the moderator took a stand. We mentioned the martyrs this morning and the reformers. These men took their stand. That takes courage. To be chained to the stake and have the faggots piled up around you and then set alight and have the bottom part of your body completely consumed while your heart is still pumping blood within your breast. That takes courage. It takes strength. No, it's not easy to be a Christian in this world. The Lord has His place for us in this world. He's brought us into this world. He's saved us. He has a place for us. And the Lord Jesus put us into this world and saved us, and we face the dangers and the despair and the disappointments of life. What does that do? It strengthens our faith. It draws us nearer to the Lord. It makes us better believers, better Christians. Job says, He knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job was saying, I'll be a better Christian. And when a child of God goes through the fires and the furnace and the crucible of suffering and persecution, when they come out the other side, they're better Christians than when they went in. Remember the words that were quoted here earlier on in the week. Words of Paul, this light affliction, which is but for a season, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whatever we face in this world, it's a light affliction. And it worketh for us. Doesn't work against us. It worketh for us. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So you have the will of the Lord. And then since there is a place for the disciples and the apostles and God's people in the world, then there is work for the laborers. The simple answer to the question, why would the Lord not take his disciples out of the world? Why would he go home to heaven, home to his Father, and leave the disciples behind? The simple answer is there was a work for them to do. When Elijah prayed that he might die, I want to die, Lord. I've had enough. I don't want any more. It wasn't the Lord's will to take him out of the world then. Why? Because the Lord had a work for Elijah to do. Who else was going to do it? He had called Elijah to this work. And Elijah had to finish the job before the Lord called him to be with himself. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Why? Because there's a work for you and I to do. Paul had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But he didn't finish there. Rather, he said in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to abide in the world is more needful for you. I need to be here. I need to minister to you. I need to minister others in other churches. There's still a work for me to do. Yes, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, because for me to die is gain. I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior. I'm looking forward to receiving my crown of righteousness. I'm looking forward to getting out of this sinful world. Looking forward to turning my back upon all this persecution and suffering. But to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, I've still got some work to do. That's why he must continue in his imprisonments. That's why he must continue in his beatings and in his poverty and in his sufferings. The Lord had a work for him to do. So, believer, until that day, we'll be here. Because the Lord remember what he prayed? Did he say to his disciples, lift up your eyes, look upon the fields that are white already to harvest. Look at the harvest of souls. But where are the laborers? My, if the Lord were to take home his laborers, who would go into the harvest field? Who would preach the gospel? Who would win souls? Who would rescue the perishing? Who would care for the dying? What did he say to the disciples? Pray ye. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Believer, the laborers are few enough. Can't afford to lose any more. Can't afford to have any more taken out of the world. Because there's souls to be saved. The lost are to be reached. The gospel is to be preached. And if the world hates us, we still have to preach. Then we come finally to our protection in the world. The Lord Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The Lord Jesus may not take us out of the world, certainly not until our work is done. And while we're in the world, we may face many dangers, we may suffer many disappointments, many setbacks, and we may even come to the place of despair and wish we were taken out of the world and wish we were in heaven. But while we face all these things, we can be assured of this. The Lord will be praying for us. As we face every danger and suffer at the hands of a world that hates us, thank God, the Lord will be praying for us. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep. I'm praying that the Father will keep you. That's what I'm praying for. And keep you from the evil. Here we have the request that the Lord made to his God. I pray that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. This request, first of all, demonstrated the Lord's concern
for his people.
He's more concerned about his people than maybe we are ourselves. What did he pray, or what did he say they prayed for here in this text? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I'm concerned about my disciples. I'm praying, my heavenly Father, keep my disciples from the evil. From the evil of the world. I'm not taking them out of the world because I have a work for them to do. There are souls to be reached with the gospel. They're to preach the gospel. They'll suffer. They'll be persecuted. They'll be imprisoned. They'll be beaten. They'll be shipwrecked. But I'm not praying that thou take them out of the world, but I'm praying that thou will keep them from evil. There we have the Lord's concern. Concern that his disciples would go astray and succumb to evil. That has happened, hasn't it? Many of God's servants have succumbed to evil. Lord Jesus here is praying to that end. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 40, the Lord is in Gethsemane. He has already told his three disciples to watch and pray. After the Lord went and prayed for the first time, he came back and found them asleep. We read then in Matthew 26, verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. He's telling the disciples, he's saying, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. My, the Lord was more concerned about the disciples than the disciples were about themselves. He told them to watch and pray lest they enter into temptation. You need to pray. And you don't yield to temptation. But the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. To that very end, has he not said, when ye pray, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But dear child of God, remember this, when we forget to pray that prayer, when we forget and overlook and neglect to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Remember this, there's one in glory, there's one at the Father's right hand, who's praying that very prayer on our behalf. I pray that thou should keep them from evil. The Lord's concern. And the Lord was consistent. Look again at the text. Says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them, all of them, keep them from evil. If you look at all the disciples, and you may say, well, John was a bit stronger than Peter. And you could say, well, Andrew was a lot stronger in the faith than Thomas. But there wasn't one of them strong enough to overcome the evil. There wasn't one of them strong enough that didn't need the Lord's praying for them. Dear child of God, that is encouraging. To know that the Lord Jesus prays for each one of his saints. No matter how strong they may be in the faith, or how weak they are, we can rejoice that the Lord has prayed for. Bless his name. Every one of us is not just praying for those that are way up there somewhere, great holy men of this day, but he's praying for the weakest saint, the saint that nobody knows anything about. The Lord Jesus is praying that their faith fail not. That's what we want. That's what we need. We need the Lord to pray for us, that we might be able to say with John Newton, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He'll give us the grace to face the dangers and the disappointments and the discouragements and the despair. He'll give us the grace. Grace will lead us home. Guaranteed. Give his request to God, and then you have the restraint that was exercised by God. When the Lord Jesus prayed, keep them from the evil. The words there mean keep them from the evil one. The evil one. Keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the devil. Keep them from the adversary. Keep them from the one who's the accuser of the brethren. Keep them from that wicked one. Keep them from the devil. Through the prayers of Christ, we are kept by him from the devil. The devil can't lay a finger on a child of God, because Jesus is praying for us. The Lord Jesus is interceding for us. Now we know. Now we understand the words of the Lord to Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Satan wants you, but I have prayed for thee. Satan wants to lay his hands on you. Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Whatever plan the devil has, it comes to naught because I have prayed for thee. Whatever the devil has purposed against you, it matters not because I have prayed for you. And interceding in your behalf. Dearly beloved, tonight we need the prayers of the Lord Jesus. We're absolutely dependent upon the prayers of Christ, our great high priest. One, because of our inability to keep ourselves. Let us never fool ourselves or kid ourselves into thinking that we can outwit the devil. We never will. He's a past master at all the tricks, and he has all the tricks of the trade. We'll never outwit the devil. We are so weak we cannot keep ourselves from the evil one. We are so weak we're apt to consent to the lusts. We're apt to faint under affliction. We can no more stand against the devil in our own strength than a lamb can stand against a lion. We need the prayers of Christ. We're dependent upon them because of our inability and our weakness. We can never overcome the devil in our own strength. The world's against us. Devil's against us. Hell is against us. We lift up our eyes and see this great company. We remember the words of Jehoshaphat when the Moabites and the Amorites encamped themselves against him. We read that Jehoshaphat prayed, O our God, wilt thou not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are toward thee. The great company of evil that is arrayed against us, how can we overcome it? How can we defeat it? We cannot. We do not have the strength in ourselves, but the strength is in Christ and in the prayers of our mediator. And he's praying for us. Praying that the Father would keep us from the evil one. We need his prayers because of our inability. We need his prayers because of our ignorance. You're so ignorant of Satan's devices, he will outwit us every time. The one who is praying for us knows all about the ways of the devil. Bless the Lord, he has defeated him before. And in your life and mine, he'll defeat him again. And he'll give us the victory. Then you have the reliability of our God. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And the one to whom the Savior prayed is one who will not fail. He will not fail. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3, the Lord is faithful who will establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is faithful. He'll keep you from evil. He will answer that prayer made on our behalf and keep us from evil. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. Paul's last will and testimony. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And Jude testified to the keeping power of God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Lord will not fail. The Lord's prayers will not fail. He will keep us from the evil one. He will intercede for us and pray on our behalf. And when we forget to pray, the Lord will be praying. He will not fail. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we do bless Thee and praise Thee for the person of the Lord Jesus, His intercessory work, His mediatorial work. We thank Thee for our great High Priest, who is even now our Father at Thy right hand, where He ever liveth to make intercession. And, O Lord, we confess tonight, we admit tonight, that, Lord, we need Thy prayers. We need Thee to pray for us, that our Father will keep us from evil. Because, Lord, we know that at every turn, down every path we walk in life, the devil has laid his snares, lurking here and there is that roaring lion as he goes about seeking whom he may devour. Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for Thy prayers. Where would we be tonight if it were not for Thy prayers? Gracious Father, we think of those tonight who know not Christ. O Lord, Draw them to thyself. Draw them, dear Lord, with the cords of Calvary love. Bring them tonight to the cross and to the place of salvation. Dear Lord, answer prayer. Write thy word upon our hearts that we go home rejoicing in the great truth that Jesus praying for his people. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.